Department of Labor and Industry, and Football Northwest.
May it please the court, on behalf of Courtney Robinson, I'm Bill Hochberg along with Sarah Smith. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you. Vince Lombardi famously said, football is not a contact sport, but a collision sport. We are all aware of the various issues associated with injury with the NFL. Hard not to. Indeed, the Seahawks' own document expresses that very issue when Mr. Robinson had to sign a tort waiver prior to being able to practice with the Seahawks that specifically says that he could undergo serious injury or death. Now, the common thread in the cases throughout the briefing indicates one overriding factor, and that is this, is that you leave a remedy for injured persons. Whether that is a tort remedy or a workers' comp remedy, a remedy is allowed. The Seahawks have individuals who come to tryouts sign a tort waiver, and now they're trying to get out of any ability to pay for workers' compensation if someone is injured as part of a tryout.
And as I understand it, you take the position, and I don't think it's disputed, that that waiver violates RCW 51.
Your Honor, I think the waiver has two different aspects. One, it's not, I don't even think it works as a workers' comp waiver, even if it tried to. And clearly, two, under the statute, you can't waive your workers' comp rights. There's no question about it. I don't think that's in dispute here.
In your reply brief, you mention it's an adhesion contract, but you don't really say anything other than that.
He had to sign it. Either you sign it, or you don't get the you don't get the tryout. It's one or the other. And obviously, this is something he's trained for years and years and years. You want to go forward, you want to do it.
But it was a voluntary decision.
Voluntary decision. Okay. True, but it's either you do it or you don't. You've come out here for nothing. It wasn't negotiated by any means. They brought him out here. They paid for everything. And when he got here, by the way, you need to sign this.
So you're taking the position that under the Novenson test, he is an employee, and focusing particularly on the board's decision in Bemis, as I understand.
That's correct. But it's more than just that. If you look at the underlying facts under Novison, it's a question of control and consent. Clearly, he's consenting to an arrangement where he's under their control, and he's trying to become and working for them. But the control part, I think, is the most important in the sense of what the Seahawks did.
But don't you have to establish both?
Yeah, but the consent aspect is always from the employee's standpoint. It's not from the employer's. It's from the employee's belief. He believed he was going to be a Seahawk. He was going to work in professional football.
That's an objective test, is it not?
I'm not sure. So sure it's an objective test, but I think the main point is the control aspect. When you look at what the Seahawks did, they arranged the trip. They transported him there. They took him to the VMAC, where that's their work site. That's a football player's work site, two places where they work. One is the game site. The other place is their practice facility. The Seahawks practice facility is where he was taken. He was injured on the Seahawks' own field. He was given a physical exam by the Seahawks. How many jobs do you get a physical exam before you get your job? Not many. He used Seahawks equipment, pads, uniform, helmet. He was told to leave early when he was injured. The coaches tell him what to do. Pete Carroll told him what drills to run. They paid his airfare, his meals, his hotel. When he was injured, he reported to their trainers and their doctor. That is control, complete control by the Seahawks when he is on the job, when he is trying out for them. Sure, there may have been an issue about, well, he could have quit, but you're never going to get the job under those circumstances. There's always a question about consent. But the reality is, once he consented and once he started with them, the only thing at that point was all under the Seahawks' direction and control. That's how football works. Football is militaristic in the sense that there is a chain of command, and when it comes to the football field, the person who's in charge are the coaches and ultimately the head coach. The tryout exception is appropriate for a variety of reasons. First of all, we think Mr. Robinson meets...
Currently, we do not have one, so you're asking...
It's an issue of first impression.
So you're asking us to adopt a tryout exception.
Yes and no. I think he meets under Novison. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Clearly, if there is a tryout exception, as there would be in California, New York, other places where professional football has or is played, there's no question he'd be covered.
No, I think that's absolutely right. But in California, Alaska, New York, there's a different definition for employee.
There's a different definition of employee, but ultimately the standard upon which we want to have coverage is wide coverage. And in Washington State, the employee, we want to cover all employees possible unless they're specifically excluded in the statute. And clearly this is not an exclusion in the statute of what constitutes an employee. If we do have a tryout exception, this is an appropriate tryout exception when you're engaging in a dangerous activity and engaging in the type of work where an individual is doing the type of dangerous work that you want them to do if, in fact, you hire them. This is especially appropriate when you have the individual waive their tort remedy. We don't want to be in a situation where someone is catastrophically injured at the Seahawk facility, and where are they? They're at Harborview, and who's paying for that bill? Well, if we rule against Mr. Robinson here, then we're paying for that bill. That doesn't seem right to me. That's a bad public policy. Public policy is quite clearly under liberal construction and wide coverage under our Industrial Insurance Act, we want individuals covered. The department's argument, we can't have individuals who are undergoing typing tests to be covered. Well, it's been a long time since I've had to do a typing test, or for that matter, football drills. But I can tell you, I think the odds of someone being injured in a typing drill is vastly different than someone being injured on the football field, and the department never comes to grip to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. You have your rebuttal time.
Good morning. I'm Craig Connors. I represent Football Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks, in this matter. Workers' compensation is a creature of statute.
Are you sharing time?
Yes, we're sharing time.
Well, you should let me know because I have to control the clock.
I'm sorry. 5 minutes for me, please.
Okay.
An injured person may receive workers' compensation benefits under the Industrial Insurance Act only if they are engaged in the employment of an employer as defined by our statute, 5108-180. The plain meaning of the statute means that...
Well, the plain meaning of the statute defining worker is somewhat circular, isn't it?
It's somewhat circular, but it clearly means that the employment relationship has already begun, not referring to a situation where the parties are considering whether or not to form.
If that was the case, then why would the Supreme Court define what an employment relationship was in Novenson?
Well, Novenson is the test, Your Honor, and this Court's decision in the Bannerstrom case affirms that Novenson is the test for purposes of like this, where an injured person is claiming to be a covered worker under the Industrial Insurance Act. And Novenson or Bannerstrom, just like Robinson, fails particularly on the consent element of the Novenson
test.
Well,
this waiver is different than the consent you had in Bannerstrom.
Well, I think there are a lot of similarities. Robinson acknowledges, and the Seahawks acknowledge in writing, that he is a free agent. There's testimony in the record about what his understanding of what free agent means and that it's not consistent with being an employee of the Seahawks. Both parties, the Seahawks, explained this to Mr. Robinson verbally at the orientation, as was the case in the Bannerstrom case. And Mr. Robinson knows better based on his past experience. He's tried out before and not been signed, and he's tried out and been signed. He knows there's no guarantee. It's stated over and over that there's no guarantee of employment by participating in the tryout. It's a very different situation than the Bemis case, where we have a 5-week-long training program upon completion of which there's a guarantee of employment. There's no training going on here. Mr. Robinson already knows how to play football. Well, they're simply seeing how he does.
Wouldn't guarantee just be a factor with regard to the normal test for employment?
Correct, Your Honor.
Well, what have we got here? I didn't realize until this morning that this man's meals are being paid. He's being put up, been housed by the Seahawks. And certainly we know the circumstances for training camp with regard to who's in control of what happens there. What are we leaving out? You want to focus on some kind of a consent, but what are we leaving out for the normal test for an employment and an employee-employer relationship?
I'm not sure that I understand your question, Your Honor.
What's left out? Almost every test is met here. So you're making some neat distinctions, and you're making a neat distinction on the basis of something I'm not sure I understand.
Well,
I think you have the burden this morning. So.
No, I don't, Your Honor. Mr. Robinson does.
But no, you do to convince me.
Okay.
That's pretty basic. You're not doing it. So why don't you tell me what you think the test is for employee-employer relationships?
Well, the Novenson case starts with the test.
Don't give me a case name. Give me the test.
Sure. There has to be the right to control the physical performance of the worker's job duties.
Was that absent?
Yes.
How?
Mr. Robinson was there voluntarily.
That
he was a
voluntariness begs the question. When he was present at the work site, who controlled what he was doing?
The Seahawks set the itinerary, but Mr. Robinson had the right to leave.
Next test, please.
And there has to be consent to the relationship on behalf of the putative worker. Mr. Robinson affirmed that he was not an employee. He didn't consent. The Seahawks did not consent. The Novitson case also said that there must be a mutual agreement between the parties in order to form an employment relationship, and we don't have a mutual agreement here. It's the difference between dating and being married. There's a fundamental difference in intent as to what the legal relationship of the parties is going to be. There are similarities, but there are differences. I'd like to let my department counsel have the rest of the time, please.
All right. All right.
May it please the court, my name is Annika Sharsh, and I'm here on behalf of the Department of Labor and Industries. The issue before the court is one of first impression. Is a person who is interviewing for a job who has to participate in a physical agility test an employee of the company that they are interviewing
this
for?
This isn't a physical agility test.
It is a physical.
This is an ordeal.
It's a physical agility test. They were asking him to perform certain exercises on the field to see how he moved, to see if they wanted to sign a contract with him or not. It's no different than a police officer or firefighter who's also asked to do similar sorts of tests to see if they have the physical capacity to perform the job that they're interviewing for.
Same argument there, and we may hear that argument later today, as a matter of fact. The question is, just what's the extent of the relationship with regard to this precursor to employment, if you will, and I believe we have a couple of cases that go a couple of different ways with regard to this. So maybe the employment relationship arises in stages, particularly where it isn't just a test. You don't have to just pass a test. You have to go through a training regime during which you're under the control of the employer. And that's true of firefighters for certain. And I think from what I've seen in this morning's cases, also true for police officers. And from what I know of my past history, it is indeed true. So a lot of things are happening during this quote-unquote pre-employment test phase that aren't a typing test. They're not a physical test to see if you can lift 50 pounds.
I believe, Your Honor, you're trying to distinguish between an interview when it then becomes a test, a physical agility
test,
and then
training.
You're
using a singular this morning in your argument, and what we have here is not a singular. What we have here is something quite different than a test.
It's a number of factors that a court is supposed to consider in determining whether an employment relationship has.
Well, I'm considering this one, and it's a number of tests, isn't it, over a period of time.
The relationship could change depending on whether those factors have been met as you move along that spectrum of control and consent.
So we didn't get there on that spectrum in your judgment?
Correct. The Department of Labor and Industries determined he was not an employee.
And the case law to support that position with regard to where he is on that spectrum in this case is what?
The most important factor in this particular case is the lack of a mutual agreement to an employment relationship. As Judge Schindler pointed out earlier, the court should look at whether there's agreement by both parties, and this is an objective determination as to whether the employee reasonably believed that there was an employment relationship. In Bennerstrom, this court indicated that the court should not just look at self-serving testimony at a hearing, but rather the objective facts at the time of the formation of the agreement. Here, Mr. Robinson testified that he was a free agent and he hoped to get a contract. He signed a statement that he was not an employee, and there were repeated statements by Seahawks personnel that participation in the camp would not guarantee him a contract. Looking at those objective facts at the time of the formation of this agreement, the Superior Court properly concluded that there was not an employment relationship. I'd also like to address the question of the waiver that has been brought up previously. There would be no need for a waiver if there was an employment relationship, because there would be immunity under the Industrial Insurance Act. Unlike the juror in Bolin, Mr. Robinson had a choice. He had a common law remedy, but he decided to waive that and to assume the risk himself. That is no different than participating in some other sort of sport or recreational activity where somebody signs a waiver and waives their ability to bring suit against an entity. So that should not be one of the court's considerations in determining whether or not he's entitled to benefits under the Industrial Insurance Act. Additionally, the court should not distinguish this situation from other situations based on the hazard.
In your brief, I think you concede that the waiver would violate public policy in the context of the Industrial Insurance Act.
Under the Industrial Insurance Act, you cannot waive your right to workers' compensation benefits.
So your position is this waiver only related to the common law right?
Correct, and that it also is evidence of their intent because he states that he's not an employee. Just like in Bennerstrom, there was a similar statement that they were not an employee in a contract with the Department of Social and Health Services. And the court considered that as one of the many elements in determining whether there had been a mutual agreement formed.
Well, isn't that really saying that waiver is your way through the back door to use that that impermissible determination under the Industrial Insurance Act against him?
If the waiver just stated he is not an employee, that'd be one element, but that would not in and of itself waive the ability to have workers' compensation benefits, because that's not permissible. It's merely one...
If it's not permissible, then why look at it?
Because it is evidence that he's... signed a form indicating that he was not an employee. That's as much weight as it should be given. It shouldn't be the determining factor as to whether he was an employee, but merely a piece of evidence to be considered. In conclusion, the department asks that this court affirm the Superior Court's determination finding that Mr. Robinson was not an employee and thus not entitled to workers' compensation benefits. Thank you.
Well, one question. Is Football Northwest self-insured?
Yes.
Thanks.
First of all, in terms of the Bemis case, the board's significant decision, Ms. Bemis was going to get a job if she successfully completed her program. Just like Courtney Robinson, if he successfully completes training camp or a mini camp, he will make the team. I think the similarity there is great, not as dissimilar as the Seahawks or the department want to admit to. Clearly, under Bennerstrom, sure, there is a contract in Bennerstrom. He basically is an independent contractor. It's not a waiver. There's a distinction between those two things. Here, they have Courtney Robinson sign a waiver the morning he arrives. All he could do was sign it in order to have a shot. And Bennerstrom has the seven factors, which expands upon Novison. But what are those seven factors? Control. We're clear about control here. The Seahawks are in total control. Who determines the qualifications? The Seahawks determine the qualifications. Who sets the pay? The Seahawks do. The hours of when things are going on? The Seahawks do.
What was the pay?
First of all, the pay is not always relevant, but clearly he's remunerated by the trip, the airfare, the per diem. But in a case...
Did he get a per diem?
Well, I'm sorry, not per diem, but room and board. Sorry. But as we know from the Mahoney versus Cochran Electric case that Judge Cox wrote, we know that you don't have to get paid on the day that you are injured. That was a case involving someone riding a bicycle, was backed into when he dropped off his van to get an oil change. He was an electrician. We know you don't have to be paid to have workers' comp coverage. We know that the other factors on Bennistrom. Who provided the work equipment? The Seahawks. Who's directing the work? The Seahawks coaches. Who's conducting safety training? The Seahawks are ultimately responsible for safety on the field of play and their coaches. You look at all seven of the Bennistrom factors. You look at the Novosin factors. There's no question the total control, the total outlook of how this is all being done is by the Seahawks. The Seahawks want to wiggle out of coverage by basically saying, well, he signed this waiver, and we never really consented to an employee-employer relationship. That may be their view of it, but ultimately it leaves us holding the bag under those circumstances where people are engaging in dangerous activities. That's simply wrong. The second aspect of that is that they're trying to say, well, you have to have mutual consent. That's not what Bennistrom says. That's just part of the overall situation. And we want a situation where individuals under the Act, they have liberal construction, and we try to cover as many people as possible. Clearly, under those circumstances, Mr. Robinson should be covered in this situation. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.